Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. UN conference in Nairobi ignores agreements ahead of summit of the future. Social organizations denounce that the multilateral system is moving towards the privatization of decisions. The United Nations Civil Society Conference, which is taking place this Wednesday and Thursday in Nairobi, Kenya, in the run-up to the Summit of the Future that will be held in September in New York, United States, seeks to reinstate a corporate-driven agenda rejected by states and social organizations in the summit process. It is a crude attempt by the Office of the Secretary General to bypass the decisions made at the September 2023 ministerial meeting and the contents of the first draft of the Pact for the Future, added environmental activist Martin Drago from Friends of the Earth International in an interview with Real World Radio. In other words, what happened is that the Nairobi conference brought back to life the idea of multi-stakeholders participating at the Summit of the Future, after social movements and organizations and countries from the Global South succeeded in the negotiation process to make the New York Summit a multilateral one of governments rather than it being based on the participation of multi-stakeholders.
In our view, what this conference seeks to do is to reinstate a corporate-driven agenda that has been rejected by states and social organizations in the summit process. It is a crude attempt, I would say, by the Office of the Secretary General to bypass the decisions made at the September 2023 ministerial meeting and the very contents of the first draft of the Pact for the Future. Here they are trying to impose the idea that organized civil society wants multi-stakeholderism and to this end promotes multi-stakeholder coalitions to push for and implement the proposals of the outcome documents of the summit. And according to the concept note of this Nairobi conference, those stakeholders would be member states, civil society, academia, think tanks, whatever they mean by that, foundations and the private sector. Our work had certain impact because the G77 group plus China advocated in the summit negotiation process for the summit to be multilateral rather than based on the participation of multi-stakeholders, but we also understand that our work has had an impact in that the term multi-stakeholderism does not appear in the first draft of the Pact for the Future.
In an open letter that circulated at the end of March, more than 10 organizations that make up the People's Working Group on Multi-Stakeholderism warned that the Nairobi conference, instead of strengthening the voices of civil society and social movements, aims to put corporate-led global governance back on the agenda. Beware the corporate multi-stakeholder strategy in civil society clothing, the letter highlighted. What is the Summit of the Future? According to the United Nations, the summit that will take place on 22 and 23 of September in New York, convened by Secretary General Antonio Guterres, is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to enhance cooperation on critical challenges and address gaps in global governance. It aims to move towards a reinvigorated multilateral system that is better positioned to positively impact people's lives. The idea is to come out of the summit with a roadmap for action, the Pact for the Future. This is what Gonzalo Berrón, activist from the Transnational Institute of the Netherlands, said to Real World Radio.
The year 2022 marked the 75th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations, and the countries asked Antonio Guterres, its Secretary General from Portugal, to draw up a document called Our Common Agenda, in which he proposed issues that are fundamental to multilateralism and global governance. In Our Common Agenda, he also proposed processes to discuss these issues, one of which is the Summit of the Future. The Summit of the Future, which was to be held in 2023 but will take place in 2024, on September 22nd and 23rd in New York, has an agenda that includes five topics: sustainable development and finance for development, peace and security, Science, Technology and Innovation and a Global Compact, which is an agreement on how they turn to us. A Pact for the Future, a Declaration on Future Generations as well, and the Digital Compact, an agreement on the digital world, are expected to come out. These are not going to be concrete solutions, but it is hoped that they will initiate processes of discussion and the building of solutions to the main problems. From the South, obviously, our vision is that these problems are related to poverty, to the responsibility of the North in the issue of climate change and climate solutions, also from a perspective of social equality and justice.
Meanwhile, Drago highlighted what he deems more relevant about the Summit of the Future.
La cumbre del futuro tiene relevancia más allá de...
The Summit of the Future is relevant beyond the action-oriented documents that are being negotiated for adoption at the summit in September this year, which are the Pact for the Future and the Global Digital Compact. In our view, the most relevant aspect of the Summit of the Future lies in that it is a key moment in the process of legitimizing and legalizing the direct participation of transnational corporations and philanthropic organizations in the decision-making processes of the United Nations system. And this is not new. It is a materialization of a narrative that has been advancing for years in the United Nations and that accelerated greatly after the signing in 2018 of a cooperation agreement between the UN Secretary General and the World Economic Forum. An agreement that was denounced by more than 300 organizations for being a boost to the growing promiscuity between the private sector and the multilateral system, the UN agencies that we were seeing. So with the summit, we understand that the aim is to legitimize the multiplication of multi-stakeholder mechanisms, that is to say, they are seeking to move towards the privatization of decision-making. And we need to be very careful because this is not only happening at the global level, but it's also advancing strongly at the regional, national, and even municipal levels. For this reason, to denounce and make the problem visible to social organizations and social movements, to citizens in general, and to states, especially in developing countries, which are the least involved in this summit process and the most vulnerable to the impacts of this type of policy. And we have contributed, in our own view, to a better understanding by these governments and social organizations of how multi-stakeholder initiatives work and the risks, impacts, and challenges.
However, the struggles never end. The defense of people's rights cannot even blink for 1 second, and the Nairobi conference confirms this.
This is a conference that, in our view, aims to give legitimacy to parallel structures that do not seek, but rather impede real transformation and do not promote the participation of peoples affected by human rights violations. The Nairobi conference also ignores the conflicts of interest that exist when corporations... participate in the shaping of global governance, conflicts of interest that organizations and social movements have been denouncing for decades in various multilateral processes, including the process of the Summit of the Future.
What kind of multilateralism do we need? About this issue, Berrón explained.
When we are asked what kind of multilateralism we need, what kind of global governance we need, the first thing we have to say is that social movements, social organizations and countries of the Global South are in this together. And that what we need is a space to make multilateralism stronger, not weaker. Because we understand that a stronger, more democratic and participatory multilateralism is going to better regulate the international system and above all those who hold power, who end up doing what they want, even within the multilateral system, which, as we know, is governed by those who can contribute money and by those who, institutionally, have the greatest decision-making power, which are the countries that have the power of veto in the Security Council. So, by changing that, we believe that this is one of the ways to move towards what we consider to be a democratic and participatory multilateralism that encapsulates our hopes for social justice and development for our peoples, as well as a more balanced environment between human beings and nature, which is not what is happening now. This is our expectation, and this is why we call on social organizations and movements who are sometimes busy with the urgency of our struggles in our territories and forget to take into account these global processes that ultimately determine many of the solutions to the problems we have in our territories and countries. And it is essential that we mobilize as social organizations, social movements, because otherwise there is a risk that the corporate capture of the multilateral system will be deepened, as is already happening through various mechanisms such as multi-stakeholderism or other forms of government in which corporate power, companies, the private sector begin to make decisions. If we don't move, there is no one to neutralize this influence, and governments are left at the mercy, or states are left at the mercy, of those interests and often even to represent us. So social mobilization is essential, among other things, so that the solutions that are produced are not solutions that only benefit companies.
Here we are. This is Real World Radio, on air.